Our psalm of the week is Psalm 73. It's printed in your bulletin. And so we will do the P pulpit side with the bold, and the L, the lectern side, will in response. Here we go, pulpit side. God is truly good to Israel, to those who have pure hearts. But I had almost stopped believing. I had almost lost my faith because I was jealous of proud people. I saw wicked people doing well. They are not suffering. They are healthy and strong. They do not have troubles like the rest of us. They don't have problems like other people. They wear pride like a necklace and put on violence as their clothing. They are looking for profits and do not control their selfish desires. They make fun of others and speak evil. Proudly they speak of hurting others. They brag to the sky. They say that they own the earth. So their people turn to them and give them whatever they want. They say, "How can God know? What does God Most High know?" These are wicked, always at ease and getting richer. So why have I kept my pure? Why have I kept my hands from doing wrong? I have suffered all day long. I have been punished every morning. God, if I had decided to talk like this, I would have let your people down. I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see. Until I went to the temple of God, then I understood what will happen to them. You put them in danger. You cause them to be destroyed. They are destroyed in a moment. They are swept away by terrors. It will be like walking from a dream. Lord, when you rise up, they will disappear. When my heart was sad and I was angry, I was senseless and stupid. I acted like an animal toward you. But I am always with you. You have held my hand. You guide me with your advice, and later you will receive me in honor. I have no one in heaven but you. I want nothing on earth beside you. My body and mind will become weak, but God is my strength. He is mine forever. Those who are far from God will die. You destroy those who are unfaithful, but I am close to God, and that is good. The Lord God is my protection. I will tell all that you have done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I can't believe that it happened again just 7 days ago. It was Sunday morning. I was up early. I was getting ready for church. I had shaved and showered. I'd eaten my daily banana and my bowl of Raisin Bran. I downed my first cup of coffee. I had also completed my daily devotion. Time was sort of rolling about this time. I was in a little bit of a hurry. The clock was ticking. It was 7:20 a.m. And you know, these days, because of where I live, I can't just walk across the street when I hear the bell ringing for 8 o'clock church. I live clear on the other side of town. It takes 7 minutes sometimes to get to church. Depends on how you hit the traffic lights. I tied my tie. I pulled on my boots. I grabbed my sports coat. And I did my mantra. You remember my mantra from a few weeks ago when I locked myself out of the house? And so I have the mantra now. Keys, keys, wallet, phone. Keys, keys, wallet, phone. Keys, keys, wallet, phone. Yep, I was in good shape. But where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? I need my glasses. You see, I can navigate around the house okay without my glasses. You know, it's all that stuff that you do around the house. It's not the detail stuff. It's not the driving. It's not the far off looking. I can handle things around the house without my glasses. But when I step out the door, I need my glasses. And so I checked all the regular places. I checked the bathroom. Nuh-uh. Checked the kitchen counter. Nope. Checked the computer desk. Uh-uh. Where are my glasses? It's now like 7:30, and I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. I'm starting to think about where are my spare glasses. But those aren't going to work in the pulpit because I've got trifocals now. Those are bifocals. I was too cheap to get the two sets of tri. What am I going to do? Where are my glasses? My wife hid my glasses. That's what I'm thinking. But she's still sleeping because she usually goes to 10:30 service. And so dare I wake her up? No, I don't dare wake her up. I keep looking. I go back to the kitchen. I go back to the bathroom. I go back to the computer desk thinking like the glasses that weren't there the first time are going to suddenly appear out of heaven the second time. No. It's now 7:35 and I'm about to pull my hair out. Finally, there they are. They're on the couch. Who put them there? I put my glasses on. Armed with glasses on face, I head out the door to greet the day. And I made it here before the bell. Psalm 73 is about our need to find our spiritual glasses. The Psalm 73 is about us as Christ followers having the spiritual ability to see through the deceptions of this world. The entire first half of Psalm 73 is dedicated basically to how a person is looking at life through worldly glasses, through a worldly perspective. Let me remind you of some of the things that it says in the first half of Psalm 73. It kicks off good. It says, God is truly good to Israel, to those who have pure hearts. But here it goes. Here's the avalanche. I almost stopped believing. I almost lost my faith because I was jealous of proud people. I saw wicked people doing well. They're not suffering. They're healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like the rest of us. They don't have problems like other people. They wear their pride like a necklace. They put violence as their clothing on. They are looking for profits and do not control their selfish desires. They make fun of others and speak evil. Proudly, they speak of hurting others. They brag to the sky. They say that they own the earth. So their people turn to them and give them whatever they want. These are wicked, always at ease and getting richer. So why have I kept my heart pure? Why have I kept my hands from doing wrong? I've suffered all day long. I've even been punished every morning. I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see. You hear it? It was too hard. Too hard for me to see. When we view life through the eyes of the world, the interpretation can lead us to think and believe that those who are not living lives of faith are the ones who are flourishing. While some of us who are seeking to be faithful in daily life are experiencing the bulk of the problems. We may say it seems like they don't have the struggles that I have. That they're healthy and my family's going through an illness time. Their business is going full guns while I'm treading water to make ends meet. They seem to have it all together while I'm falling apart. Life for them seems like a downhill ride. But for me, it's an uphill battle. They break the rules and end up on top. I follow the rules and end up paying through the nose. I guess good guys and good gals do end up last. I don't get it. It's not fair. If this is how it goes, then I might as well live like the rest of the world does. Cut corners in my business, compromise my ethics, lie and cheat just a little to get ahead. You ever thought thoughts like these? The psalm even says, I almost stopped believing. I almost lost my faith. Anyone here ever almost stopped believing? Or almost lost your faith? Maybe it was at a time when the rug of life was pulled out from underneath your feet. Or possibly you got sideswiped by some terrible news. Maybe you got knocked off your feet by a sudden personal storm or taken back by something out of the blue, out of left field. Or possibly you felt snake bitten by a series of bad incidences, and whereby we may not totally stop believing or almost lose our faith, but we certainly have doubts about God. My mother-in-law has seen her share of struggles and tragedy. Miscarriage of a child, buried two husbands, experienced some physical abuse along the way, bouts with depression, breast cancer, double mastectomy, lost a son to suicide, lost a grandson to suicide. And these are only the ones that I know about. I know there've got to be a lot more personal storms that she's gone through that we're not aware of. And I know that there were times during these devastating situations that her faith was thin, that she may have been tempted to throw in the towel of trusting God. It's these kinds of misfortunes that can lead us to question our belief, to almost stop believing, to almost lose our faith. And it's when we view life through the worldly measures, through the worldly lenses of how the world defines success, how the world defines failure, that it will bring us to interpret life based upon this human worldly scale that will lead to some false readings, or what's also known as a false positive. A false positive defined is this: a false positive is a result that indicates a given condition exists when it really doesn't. I know of a 45-year-old woman in South Texas. She was a part of my congregation when I served down there. And she was diagnosed as having breast cancer. Breast cancer on one side. And so she decided to be very proactive. She decided to have both breasts removed, a double mastectomy. And so she did, only to find out 2 weeks later that they had misread the lab report. It was a false positive. She really didn't have breast cancer. A very unfortunate false positive in the medical field. But let me share some tragic false positives in the spiritual realm. The world will encourage us, as we look through worldly lenses, to only forgive those who truly deserve it. False positive. The world will try its hardest to convince each and every one of us that the right thing to do is to do unto others before they do unto us. False positive. The world will try to convince us that it makes perfect sense to take care of me, myself, and I first and foremost, and then worry about other people. False positive. The world will attempt to trick us into thinking that money, possessions, the accumulation of stuff is the true meaning of what life is really about. False positive. The world will even try to leverage the hearts of white people to think that white people are better than black people or brown people. False positive. You see, worldly lenses will twist the truth. It will change the diagnosis. It will create a false positive to try to get us to see through its lenses instead of the spiritual lenses that God places on our hearts by faith. The worldly lenses will try to get us to doubt God's word, to compromise our values, to pursue the thinking that God really doesn't love us, that God is not with us in the dark times. God is not with us in the valleys. God is not for us. And you see, Psalm 73 would say this to us, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't be fooled by wearing those glasses. For the lenses of God, through the lenses of God, the one who has the most toys at the end is not the one who wins. And the one who experiences all the scars and bruises of life is not necessarily the one who loses. For even though the psalm says that this person almost stopped believing, almost lost their faith, That's only the first half of the psalm. Right there in the middle, verse 17 is the key verse to it all. It says all these things that he has seen, she has seen and experienced. And then verse 17, until I could not see, I could not understand, until I went to the temple of God. Then I understood. She almost stopped believing. He almost lost his faith until he went to the temple of God. You see, it's until we find our glasses, until we place our spiritual lenses back on our face, which gives us that godly view of life and faith and suffering and success, that we will be blind in the journey of this life. And it's when we, in our blinded state of human brokenness and sin, when we put on the lenses of the Lord, we see these misread values of a very flawed world for what they truly are. Lies. Deception. They're temporal. Let's just say it that way. They're earthly. They may stick around for 10, 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 100 years. But in the span of eternity, it's a breath. So where are these spiritual lenses? Where are these spiritual glasses? The psalm says that they're in the temple of God. So first of all, they're right here. Isn't this one of the reasons we gather at God's house on a daily basis? To have our eyes set on Jesus again? To have our lenses corrected? To put on God's view and not just our human view. You know, the human view bombards us with the bad news of what we hear on TV and the radio and how we open up the newspaper. We hear things about one protester in a state far away from here running over protesters. We hear about people gathering Mexican aliens and putting them in a tractor trailer like cattle. At 100-degree weather, we hear about things like teens and young adults dying in a one-car accident on Tyvedale Road. We hear about these things, and our spiritual center from day to day can be knocked off. We can have our faith glasses fall where we can't find them. And in addition to all these things that we hear about in the world, then there's on top of that our personal stuff, isn't it? The struggles that we may be having in our family or at work, maybe in our marriage. All these things add up. So every single week we gather in this place to hear again about God giving us his lenses so that we may continue to navigate the journey of this life in faith. But I don't know if you're like me or not. I can't wait a whole week. 7 days is way too long in between eye exams. 7 days makes a hole, makes me weak. And so on a daily basis, we have the opportunity to turn to God. And that's in his word, that's in prayer, that's in devotion, that's online possibly. That's as we encounter fellow believers in HEB or Walmart, and even at work where we give each other a hug, we know someone else is going through a difficult time, and so we lean into them and they lean into us. We are reminded that the journey of faith is not an easy one, but through the lenses of God, through the eyes of God, he grants us the resources to continue to journey in faith. In a way, he lifts us up for a moment so that we might see the big picture and re-enter the world with those eyes of faith. Thinking about being lifted up and seeing a bigger picture, I recall about 15 years ago when I was invited to be a part of, the Battling Billy football group. And so I was a spotter. You know what a spotter is, don't you? You sit up in the press box and you spot. And you tell the radio person what number and what name of that person who made the play or caught the pass or did the tackle. And so they was given a pair of binoculars so that I could see up close what was going on down on the field and I could get the number correct. And then I could look on the scorecard there and get the name correct and whisper over to the radio guy, and he would share that with everybody. I wasn't on the field. I wasn't on the sideline. I wasn't even in the stands. But I was up and away so that I might have that broader perspective of seeing what was going on. And of course, in our faith, we will never fully understand everything that's going on. We won't know why and all the reasons that we experience hardships of life or certain temptations in this life. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, "For now we see dimly, now we see dimly, but one day we shall see clearly." And so for now, it says, 2 Corinthians 5 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Those are the spiritual lenses of God, to walk by faith and not the sight of the worldly view. Hey, there's a big event tomorrow, isn't it? A big weather event. Anybody know what's going on? A solar eclipse of the sun. And so, you know, that's when the moon passes between the earth and the sun, and that shadow is cast upon the earth. And I understand in the middle United States, they're going to have a total eclipse. And this hasn't happened in the United States, a total eclipse, since 1918. That's been a long time. And so it's going to happen now. It's going to happen again in 2023 and 2024. And guess where the prime spot's going to be? Right here in Fredericksburg. But we're going to have some guests that weekend, aren't we? Man, oh man. So tomorrow, while the middle part of the United States is experiencing this solar eclipse when it is as darkness, we're going to get a partial. We here in the Hill Country will receive that partial. And you know, when you think about what's going on there, the moon is blocking the sun's ray. But the sun is still shining. The sun is still bright behind that moon. The sun's light has not been diminished. The sun's power has not been diminished. And so in that darkness, we still walk by faith. And so it is in our own personal lives. When we experience the darknesses of life, the temptations of life, the sun, the S-O-N, is still above us to watch over us. He is still beside us to guide us. He is still underneath us to uphold us, and he is still within us to give us his peace, his power, his promises, and provision. Hey, where are my glasses? They're in his hands each and every time we turn to him. Amen.